Welcome to Crypto Kid Podcast. So today I have a special guest, Edward, and he is co-founder and CEO of Arrows Markets. So thank you. Welcome, Edward. I know you're a busy guy and definitely appreciate you coming on the cast and spending some time and explaining some things about riding the halving and some things that your company's coming out, and hopefully you'll be able to tell us the exact dates when they drop. But I know some people like to keep that secret or like to build it up. But yeah, man, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in the blockchain technology and what possessed you to start your own company?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Sunny, for that great introduction. And I also thank all your listeners of the Crypto Kid podcast. I'm really excited to be here, share some of my experiences as well as provide some commentary on the halving. I know that it's literally just coming up, so I hope people will get a chance to listen, also make some of their informed decisions. Be cautious out there, be careful, because hey, we've only had three of these in the past, and that's not a lot of data. Especially myself, I'm coming from a quant background, and I gotta say this. Being able to extrapolate well from three data points is tough. So keep that in mind. In terms of my background, just to give you a bit about that, before Arrow Markets, which is an options platform that's built on Avalanche primarily, I was a PhD student, a PhD candidate at Cornell University. I was getting my PhD in financial economics, at the intersection of asset pricing and artificial intelligence, and still an area that I'm very passionate about and do research in. So really something that drives a lot of how we operate and think at Arrow Markets, especially on the quant side there. And options, of course, they're a very powerful asset. They're something that hasn't really taken off in the traditional crypto derivative space. It just hasn't really gotten to the same place it has in TradFi. So we saw this opportunity a few years ago and decided that it would be a good idea to create the technology around this and create the decentralized finance platform called Arrow Markets. One of the things, just to give your listeners a little bit of a flavor of how options work, because a lot of people don't know how they work and they're more familiar with derivatives like perps. So why might you really like to trade something like an option? Well, the great thing about options is they're non-liquidatable on the long side. So you buy them and you can sit on them. It's not like a perp where you go 100% leverage and, you know, if it goes down 1% or less, then you get liquidated, you know, like that. So with options, the great thing is you can do things like pick a reference price, pick an expiration price, and then bet on the upside or downside. So a lot of people, what they like to do is they like to get options that say, okay, I know that the price of Ethereum right now is 3,000. I'm going to pick that as my reference price. Anything that goes above that, that's called the call option, within something like a month, I'm going to capture all the profits to that at that month expiration. So if it goes up in a month to 3,500, I'm going to get the $500. And in the meantime, I don't have to put up as much capital as purchasing a full Ethereum or ETH at $3,000. So it has what we like to call in industry embedded leverage. And that's really the powerful aspect of options. It's this non-liquidatable embedded leverage that you can buy. And in TradFi, people just love options. It has been the bread and butter of Wall Street Bets. If you know, you guys follow that, it is the absolute weapon of choice. I'll put that in quotes, but for sure, it is the weapon of choice for the Wall Street Bets crowd.
For sure. I used to trade options, but with fiat currency. And nice. I did it for a network marketing company. Wealth Generators was one of them. And what we do, like, we have these professionals, and they would go on a live stream, and so you're watching for a period, be like, all right, they're gonna bet on it going up, and they're like, place bet now, and then just just wait a few minutes or until the time runs out, and then boom, you make your profits. But also, if you don't bet correctly and you bet just late enough, you could also lose money because you didn't reach your stop margin. But yeah, so do you guys have, is it something like Wealth Generators? I don't know if you heard of them, but they're network marketing and they have the options and things like that. So are you guys getting like live streams of what the market's going to do?
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with Wealth Generators, but I will definitely look into them. What I will say is that the way that we operate is we're powered by a network of market makers who are giving the quotes. Okay. And we operate something called a request for execution system, in that quotes are displayed as a reference for the prices, the bids and asks of the different options. People can pick what options they want. We also have a recommender system on our platform that's part of our light mode, so that people can come and help guide which options to purchase, you know, given their market views, given if they're bullish, bearish, and a few different strategies that we have, like a target, a breakout, resistance. So they can read more about these strategies, they can answer a few questions, and then a few options will be given as part of the recommender system. And those options will have prices that are quoted from our system of market makers. And then people respond with those quoted prices with a slippage tolerance. So basically, it goes back for final execution. That's the request for execution part. And then with the slippage tolerance, which the market makers don't see, so they can't take advantage of that, it will either get executed against the market makers, or it'll get rejected if it's not within the slippage tolerance of the reference price. So we're a little different than some of the other request for quote platforms out there, in that we do have this second step, the reference plus the request for execution. One of the nice things about that is it reduces the opportunity for market makers' prices to get stale. And in traditional request for quote systems, what they do to mitigate against that staleness risk of those quotes is they just pump up the prices on everything, because they say, well, I'm going to put out this quote and it's going to have to remain valid for a minute. I don't know what's going to happen in the market in the next minute as a market maker. So what do I do to protect myself? I just make everything higher on the buy side and everything lower on the sell side, so spreads get pushed out. I know that's probably a lot, like, you know, it's getting into the nitty gritty of how our system works. But TLDR is this, that on our system, we have a great UI UX to help people pick the options that they that suit their market views. And the second thing is that we have very tight spreads relative to things like centralized exchanges, where we have a system of market makers that are competing against each other, have KPI metrics that they have to hit in order to get the incentivized rewards on the platform. So that's how we've tackled the problem of you know, connecting the two sides of the market makers who are the professionals, the users who are over here, and finding a good medium of exchange for both of them that consider both of their interests. So that's at a high level what Aero Markets is about.
Do you guys have multiple? What all the currencies do you guys carry? Is it fiat or just strictly crypto, or even gold, like on precious materials? Yeah.
Strictly crypto, you know, and of course, it's region restricted right now. So if you're in the United States, too bad, because of regulations, and as well as some other restricted regions, you can see our terms of service. But in terms of the assets that we do offer, we offer Ethereum, we offer Bitcoin, Avox is going to be coming on, as well as a few other of the high cap assets. So those will be added as well within the next couple months. And we're excited to be a great platform for offering a broad array of options. A lot of what you saw traditionally in the DeFi space and the crypto DeFi option space was vaults. So things like Ribbon or ThetaNuts, for example. And they would be pretty restrictive in terms of what options you could back or you could purchase. And it holds a lot of users back that way. So With a new generation of options protocols that are coming out there, including Arrow, you're getting a lot more flexibility that mirrors things that you would see in TradFi and fiat currencies. And that's really nice. But yes, just keeping it to crypto assets, no real world assets, nothing like that. It's purely in the crypto space at the moment.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Now, when people go to sign up on it, is there an affiliation program? Like, say if someone likes your product really well and they want to tell their friends, hey, do they have like a reference code that they could use, and then they could possibly get a little bit of money for doing referring their friend?
Yeah, so to always be on the lookout, we have one of the other things that we're super proud of is our contests and our contest mode that helps different users interact with each other, earn badges, enter in raffles, do things like referrals. So when those are going on, yes, we have a referral program. People can come in. The best way to stay up to date with that is to follow our socials to mostly, you know, Twitter and Discord. We also have a Telegram, but Discord's really the place where you can be most interactive with our team. And you can also find ways that you can get involved that don't even require you to have a massive network of folks. You know, if you just want to give us feedback, participate in user interviews to understand how you're using the interface, the UI UX, all of those things are super important to us. And we love to give back to the community and help build the product in a cooperative manner like this. So I like to say, no matter what skills or network you have, there will be a way for you to participate within our community and get rewarded for doing so. So you don't have to be like a huge KOL influencer. You don't have to be someone who's a great options trader. All of these, there's a place for you to give us good feedback from even the standard average user who doesn't know anything about options, because we want to have a broader reach. And as a community member, you can help us get to that goal and help build with us.
Yeah, and all those links are definitely going to be in the description. So make sure you get involved with the community. Even if you're not sure about it, just see what's going on in the chats and see make some friends and see if they have if you have any questions that they can answer. That'd be great. But so let's talk about your token that you're about to come out with. What's going on with that, man?
Yeah, so the our token is slated to be coming out sometime in May. So I'm not going to give too many details about that, but be on the lookout. Do join our socials. You will see more information about the opportunity to get involved. Of course, as your region allows, and looking forward to continuing the conversation and staying up to date with any folks who are super excited and super bullish on the Arrow Markets product. And please do come and try the platform for yourself so you can really get a sense of how you might be able to use options as part of your arsenal, your financial arsenal that's out there. So yeah,
it's really easy to navigate too. I was testing a little bit, and really easy user face and things like that. Now, your tokenization, is it just going to, are you able, do you guys like have a wallet, your own personal wallet to get it, or is it on some other crypto exchanges to buy from?
Yeah, so we are, we're planning on having an IDO on a couple exchanges. So
can you say which ones?
Not at the moment. Okay. I can't completely disclose that.
Okay.
One of them is Avalanche, so we have confirmed that, but there is one other one that's in the works, and we should be announcing very soon, so as soon as Monday or Tuesday of when this was recorded. But that being said, there will be that opportunity. That will be, of course, the best opportunity to get involved. And then later on, we do have plans to launch on a couple centralized exchanges. And those will be coming out, you know, in the next month or so.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, going back to the halving, like with your option tradings, do you suggest people to bet big during the halving session, or do you think just take it slow and be cautious?
Yeah, so there's a couple ways to play this, to be honest. And let me just give a bit of background on why, at a high level, I think people should be cautious this time around. So there have been three halvings in the past. There was 2012, 2016, 2020. And two of those three corresponded with major liquidity events in the market, in the broader financial market. What do I mean by that? Well, 2020, there was huge COVID stimulus. In 2012, there was quantitative easing. 2016, it's a little bit more difficult to pinpoint what the full stimulus was there, but things were relatively easy as well from the Federal Reserve. It just wasn't as much as the 2012 and 2020. So those are easy to pinpoint and say, hey, look, the super cycles that were established after the halving that lasts for about a little more than a year on average, it's like a year and 3 months on average, those things, there's a very good chance that the attribution of the good performance for Bitcoin was actually due to the good broader market conditions, because Bitcoin, like we like to say in the quant world, it has a high beta with respect to the overall financial market. So that means that, like, let's say the S&P goes up by $1, Bitcoin over that same time period, it can have a beta of like 5, it could go by $5. So it's like a linear relationship between the two that gets multiplied, okay? So typically it acts like that. It's not always the case, but on average it does. So it's a high beta asset, similar to like tech companies. Tech companies are also high beta assets. Things like Tesla, well, not right now, it's having its own problems because the EV market is pretty bad. But you know, you can take things like the FANG or MANG now stocks, and they also have a high beta relative to the overall market. So what does this mean overall? Well, typically what you see in the past three events, which, like I'm saying, be cautious about how much you can extrapolate from this. But typically you see that there is a run-up in volatility into the actual halving event, then it dies down, and then a super cycle is established where the price just like slowly goes up like a big, big bubble, okay? And then it can come down, okay? And that whole, from like trough to peak there, it takes like about a year and 3 months, like I said before. And if you believe that the last three are indicative, that you know, that's enough data to extrapolate for, then the long position is for you, okay? And you should go for it. But like I said, in two out of the last three, we had very strong, good market conditions that reigned. And now with inflation being high, even though we have strong economic prints, like we're seeing good job performance, productivity, retail performance, we're seeing good economic numbers. But as counterintuitive as that is for the market to grow, everyone just cares about what the Fed is doing. Everyone cares about what Jay Powell is doing. So, you know, what's he going to do when he sees this good economic data, but then bad inflation numbers? When the Fed has a target of 2% for their inflation, and we're getting reads 2% per annum, and we're getting reads of 3.5%. So you see the market kind of went a little haywire right now over because he had his talk on Wednesday that the Fed, well, he came out with a speech and they reversed policy on cutting rates. And then what did you see? Everything just kind of went down, including Bitcoin, including crypto. So if the super cycle, or if the halving, the environment of the halving that is established after this coincides with that economic environment, my bet, this is a personal view, my bet is that the halving will not be enough to overcome the broader financial market forces. So you'll see more depression in Bitcoin rather than this really pumping things. So that those are a couple different perspectives. You could either go with, you know, it's just a repeat of the history, and I think that the super cycle is going to be established because the narrative there is that, well, the amount of tokens that are released into the supply is going to be cut down by half. So the new Bitcoins that are being produced every day is about to go down by half. The overall supply will become more precious, basically, Bitcoin, because of that. That is a perspective. Of course, if you're part of this kind of rational camp, you say, well, everyone knew it was going to happen, right? You know, just should have already been priced in. But in my opinion, the dominant factor here is the broader financial market liquidity events And you could get a pop, you know, initially because people are so excited about this event, but it'll be transitory, in my opinion. So as long as we have an inflation problem and as long as the Fed is king, then that narrative is still going to dominate markets. What you can do to try to take advantage of that, if you're too worried about direction, there is actually some cool things that you can do with options that you can't really do with any other asset, you know, just to kind of tout the power of options. You can pick up bets on volatility. So you don't have to take a position on direction just as long as the swings occur. If it's either really big upside or really big downside, you will get paid off. So what are some strategies that are like this? Well, some expensive strategies that are like this are called straddles and strangles. And that's basically where you go long a put and long a call option. So it's like you're kind of covering yourself on if it goes down or up. Since it is expensive, the asset does need to swing out a bunch in order for those to pay off. If you don't want to put out as much cash there, then you can do something called a long iron condor. And I'll leave, you know, your listeners to kind of go and, because the best thing to do is just to kind of research them, look up what they are. It's a little difficult to just talk about it without the visuals.
Exactly.
Yeah, but those are really powerful tools to be able to take a view on volatility, which if you're doing just Delta One assets, you can't do that. Because let's say, for example, you're taking up a perp position. If you're just kind of going long and short in the same way, then they'll cancel each other out. You could play around with how much leverage you do on the upside and downside and kind of generate some exposure like this, but it's a lot harder to do. And you have to be dynamic with your positions there in order to replicate that type of volatility exposure. So I like to say to people, like, look, even if you're not sure, there are still ways that you can play this. You can say, okay, I think that, yeah, either the market's going to really go up over the next, you know, 3-6 months, or you know what, we're going to have the opposite thing where it's going to surprise everyone on the downside because the broader economic environment is going to be harsh. Things are going to drop. We've also had 6 months of this, like, you know, massive rip in crypto. So that's also another argument for why it's already priced in. And so either way, if you have those views, you could still find ways to take a perspective in the market on volatility. And that's pretty cool. Of course, all of these have risks. All of them, I'm not going to say that these strategies are foolproof. If the market kind of just pitters out, and or you get the timing wrong of your option, you say, like, okay, I think this is going to happen in the next month, and in fact that rip takes 3 months, then you're going to be out of luck. That's going to be bad. And as you increase the duration of these options or the expirations of the option, they also get more expensive. So there's all sorts of caveats that exist there, but I want to just convey to your listeners that there's a lot more that you can do and play around with to take perspectives, even if you're saying, you know what, I don't know if it's going to go up or down. Market neutral strategies are still something that's super valid and that a lot of financial professionals just play all the time. So don't worry, you're not in a, by not having a perspective on this, you are not alone. And a ton of professionals also don't know which way it's going to go. That's my view on it.
A lot of people have a hard time. They get caught in the, what is it? The fear of missing out, the FOMO.
Oh yeah, the FOMO. Oh yeah.
So like when newbies come in and they see everything going up, they're like, oh, I have to get this. It's like, hold on, wait a minute. Like, you're just seeing like the upside of it. You don't forget, we do have a downside. Like, it's physics. Yeah, exactly. What goes up must come down. So you just, and then like creators like me, we get blamed for, well, you told me to get it. And I try to give as much facts and honestly about this, but like, you just got to do your own due diligence. You just can't.
Yeah.
Just because you see it on the news doesn't mean like it's going to keep going up forever. No. Just, I would always suggest like sit down and do like intensive research and use a product like Arrow Markets, and because they have really good tools, and just play around with it. Don't risk it. Don't put in more than what you're willing to afford to lose. Yeah. So, and another thing that catches my curiosity is, like, it has to work on that side. It has to work too, because cryptocurrency is here to stay. It's not going anywhere. Like, we have El Salvador making it their official country's currency, and you see all these big players coming in, like BlackRock, JP Morgan. I've heard talk about it. And you mentioned the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve's came for now, but not for long. But they're going to hold on to it to the bare end. And then that's just when they're going to come out with something like, hey, we have our own now, because they collected enough research and enough people on their team. They're probably recruiting people right now to educate them on how.
Hey, I know some of those people. Actually. Oh,
can you say how they can make it work?
Well, no, I just know that they're recruiting them, that they already recruited that, like, folks who I was doing at Cornell, there was like a big kind of crypto economic. There was a lot of people, because in the CS department, there was a lot of crypto folks, and in the economics department, there was a lot of excitement about crypto. So you saw this, like, a lot of cross-pollination. Mm-hmm. A lot of people who were, graduated from there, they went to go work at places like the Bank of International Settlements, got into crypto there, or the IMF, or CFTC. So all of these places are actively recruiting and have people in research at all of them. And it's going to leak. Eventually, it'll go down to policy. It always takes longer, though. Like, first, it starts with the research. And then years later, it's like, okay, we'll get to, the policy. But yes, agreed that things like, the central bank digital currencies, those are coming. We already see the development of those. And that's going to be interesting. Didn't mean to cut you off, Sonny, but yeah.
That's great. That's great. It's exciting times. It, like, gets me hyped up too, honestly. But
yeah.
Yeah, man. So do you have anything you want to share about what you're going to be doing in the next few months? Any events that you're going to be at, or any where people can reach you at, like, personally?
Yeah, sure. So I will say, I wanted to just finish with a couple different things here. But before I get to that, one of the cool things from the regulatory perspective, from the Federal Reserve, or even other entities like the OCC, I really think that there is a great way that they can get involved in digital currencies, in crypto, by being less antagonistic about them and seeing the virtues of them. Some of the things that I think are so powerful about open finance or DeFi is that, let's say you are someone like a regulator like the Federal Reserve or the OCC, you can come and say, okay, I want to know about the financial fragility of a system. I want to know how shaky this thing is. What do they do right now? Well, they go to the big banks and they say to the big banks, here are our stress test scenarios. Here are these kind of bad economic shocks. I want to see, let me take this to your internal risk management team, and you guys give me back a report that says how your bank and its assets, its balance sheet, how will it respond to this big market event, this like imaginary market event? That's the stress test. When they do this, it requires a lot of trust. Now, they'll monitor them and they'll kind of see what they're doing, but really it comes down to these risk management teams. Now, they're heavily regulated and things are watched as much as possible. But on chain with open finance, you could actually fork the whole system and then run the tests explicitly with things like different AI agents and just see how the market responds. See, like, oh, when do we get a huge crash that takes out Aave or takes out this protocol or that protocol? What could lead to these crazy things happening? And there, you can do that in live time. The Fed right now does that like at a quarterly or half yearly frequency. And all sorts of stuff can be moved around internally in the banks, or they can make things look a little better than they actually are. We've seen some bad things like this happen before. But in crypto, you can't do that. In crypto, it's all on chain. And if your protocol is open enough, then you can even just simulate what will happen. So like, it's kind of a quant dream, you know, to have all of that openness and being able to simulate the whole system. And eventually, I think the Federal Reserve and the different regulatory, not just the Federal Reserve, but the ECB, all of them, all the big central banks are going to come to this perspective that, hey, we can actually do a lot more better in regulations on chain than off chain. So I really have hope for that. Now, there's all sorts of other hairy questions there about, well, if they create their own currencies and they monitor people's transactions and stuff like that. Agreed, that's dangerous. There's things to be concerned about. There's censorship resistance. There's all sorts of other valid things that are out there. But I'm saying, even as the system that we have now that's completely open, they could just be looking at it from the outside and saying, okay, when is this system fragile? What are the conditions under which it might break? And then here are the ways that we want to see the system beef up in some way, like more capital here, more collateral there, et cetera, et cetera. They could do that in an open finance system if they forced all the banks to go on something like a blockchain, you know, and to be able to watch them that way. And that's great. I think that's really the power that we can say to them, like, look, it's not totally the Wild West out here. This stuff is super interesting. You can make it more regulated in these ways, and you will even have more oversight and financial responsibility that way. So I have a lot of hopes for that, and I just wanted to include that as a great opportunity that crypto can sell itself, even to regulators.
Yeah, so. But what's stopping anybody from making their own cryptocurrency? Because that's one of the questions I get asked all the time. So people are just like, I can make my own token and it would be considered as an asset. It's like, yes and no. There's going to be some hoops that you're going to have to jump through, though, for sure. But like for in the FTX case or and things like that, or with the there was another coin that Luna, I think it was Luna that got, they got in trouble. And like, how can my viewers spot out the frauds in a way?
Yeah, that's a difficult one, to be honest. It is really hard. You know, I would say, of course, when meme coins come along, and this is, you know, it's the hot thing. It's been a hot thing for a while, but it's especially blown up on Solana this last cycle. Those, you know, you're getting into some trouble. There's just no question about it. You know that that's shady. For other projects, all I can say is you got to just do some due diligence and look into what the product is. If it seems to make sense to you, you know, there were some, I remember, like, you know, there was the whole crazy thing of DeFi 2.0 with Olympus, DAO, and all of those guys. And you looked at their protocol and you're like, okay, 1110, like, okay, this is like some simple game theory, but is this really going to hold up with this huge level of APRs and APYs? You got to be a little skeptical when you see things that almost look too good, that look too good to be true. And you have to see if it doesn't make sense to you, it probably doesn't make sense. Don't think that you're too stupid to understand it. It's just like, you got to be skeptical when you come out there. And because of the way that crypto is, because of how open it is, there is no way to completely to just restrict and have a way to just have a set of tokens that you completely believe in. You have to go to trusted sources. You have to see different research outlets. You have to get a sense of who the team is that's on there. It's just like the regular world. You know, when you're thinking about a private investment or anything like that, there's going to be times when you're investing in something, like what's the famous one, the blood testing, Theranos, or I'm forgetting the
lobotomy
name. But no, it was a blood testing company that recently hold on. Yeah, yes, it was Theranos. It was by Elizabeth Holmes. it was in the blood testing industry. She had even gone through and gotten like FDA approvals on things, but it turned out to be like a total smoke and mirrors show, and the whole thing went under. So there are things like that that do exist in traditional finance, and you know, companies that are out there that people will invest in, and they're kind of shady and this and that. But I do acknowledge that in crypto, it's just so much easier to spin up a coin. It's just so much easier to get out there, have these tokens. So you do have to be more careful when it comes to that. You do have to look for good signals. You have to look for people who, you know, for example, invested in the project. You have to look at different key opinion leaders who have come out and then spoken about it. You have to understand what the protocol does. And once you do that, then yeah, there are also bigger returns because the risk is higher in crypto, right? So it's like the whole classical risk return trade-off. But yeah, until there might be like a permission chain, which do exist, these things are totally out there. My personal belief is eventually you'll have people like these different regulatory bodies, they'll create permission chains where they're going to KYC people, they're going to do all this stuff. And then they're also going to put new tokens that come on there up to the same type of regulations that other assets are subject to. And then we'll get something that's much closer to what traditional finance is, but on chain in an open way. But until that happens, yeah, you have to just do a ton of due diligence and also size appropriately. Like you were saying, Sunny, people should be aware that when you come to an investment, and this is not just true in crypto, you could have high conviction and hey, you could have even been right. Like, for example, during the crashes that have happened in the past, let's just take 2008 or something. Mm-hmm. If you just mistimed 2008, but you were right about the housing crisis, well, too bad, you still lost everything. And there were a ton of people that were like that, ton of people. And it sucks because you know inherently that you were right about it, but you timed it incorrectly and you put a lot of resources on the line before you started getting those real downturns to really take advantage of it. So as you practice on markets, as you get used to this, it's always a good idea to diversify and to not size positions hugely. Even if you're not diversifying and you're doing things kind of sequentially just over time, it's a really bad idea to just put all your bags in. Of course, it pays off greatly sometimes and you could be really lucky. But what people should be trying to do is hone the skills of saying, okay, you know what? Yeah, I know I could be right. And maybe 70% of the time when I'm right, it also goes in the right direction too. I'm right and I make money. Well, you don't want to get screwed on those 30% other times and then size it like an insane person and then never want to come back to the market again. I shouldn't say insane people. Everyone does it. I feel like this is like a common trait, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really important investment approach, which is like be really diligent about keeping your sizing relatively small and then gradually maybe increasing it. But always keep in mind, you could be wrong and the market could be, you could be right and the market could be wrong. This happens all the time. So yeah, that's, and things are a game of probabilities. So you really have to play that.
Yeah, definitely building up the experience matters. And also what's helped me is going to people that have experience in that area, like with real estate and opening up their own business. And just picking their brain, because these old timers, they love to educate people, like young, enthusiastic, full of charisma, and just like, you know, don't do this. This is what I did wrong. And I'm telling you this now to make sure you do it the right way, or else you're going to be coming across a bunch of problematic issues. And it's amazing that I have like two businesses. I do boat rentals and boat detailing. And with the detailing, I started off with a van and just like slowly bought the materials, the tools, the equipment I needed. And then I started going out to like the marinas and asking, hey, can you guys give me a shot? You know, can I detail some of the boats that you guys have come in? Like, yeah. And then it goes from that little stepping stone, and then now I'm looking for like a piece of property and like to like have an actual spot where people could come and bring their boats or bring their vehicles. I don't just do boats, I do cars too and RVs. But and then with the boat rentals, all I did, I just started with one beater boat and fixed it up slowly and just put it on the market for rent and or to, for people to rent out. And it's just slowly building yourself up. And that just goes on with anything that you do in life, especially with learning how to deal with your finances. You just got to follow and do your homework and just see what the professionals are saying, most importantly, what the professionals are saying. But is there anything else you would like to add? Anything you felt like we didn't cover that you want to say real quickly? Or
no, just on that topic, even with professionals, right? Everyone has to come to it with a grain of salt too, and get used to it, because professionals, especially when it comes to macro news, like anything that has to do with the overall economy, is so hard to predict, so difficult. And a lot of the time, it's just better to hold something like the blue chips, you know, or like just the standards that are out there. Like, you know, hold on to Ethereum, hold on to Bitcoin, hold on to the NASDAQ, hold on to the S&P 500. And those things do go up over time, and you have to just be able to weather the storm and wait. So a lot of people will get too scared. They'll sell when there's a crisis. But then if you zoom out enough and you wait for a year or something, things will recover. And it hurts so bad, the FOMO aspects of like, oh, yeah, you know, either I should get out now too soon, or I should put everything into this meme coin. And sometimes it works, but when it doesn't work, it really, really hurts. So, I'd say always approach it that way, that, you know, it, of course, you can put things into riskier bets, but you got to be aware when that happens and really dig into understanding some of the main things, the basics of crypto, like what you can have really good conviction is. If you just believe, for example, in digitizing compute and having programs run in an open way, then, hey, look, you know, stick mostly to Ethereum and you'll probably be fine. So things like that, I'd really like to emphasize to folks. You don't have to be necessarily on the cutting edge of whatever the most stellar technology is. You'll probably still be early as long as you're doing even some basic homework. Same is true in AI. I love AI. I always talk about AI. You know, and I think right now we're getting into that area where you're going to start seeing a lot of investment opportunities in companies, and there's going to be a lot to fail at the same time. And you just have to be aware. That's just how it is before, you know, something like an Amazon is established, some like really big leader in it that gets that first mover advantage. There's going to be a lot of losers in the meantime. And just be aware and be broad and diversify.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely be ahead of the game, because when AI comes in, it's going to take a lot of jobs. So you might as well be an early investor, because, you know, I'd rather, in my opinion, like, people don't get mad at me, you know, but I would hire some robots and wash my boats for me. You know, it's just like, like the car manufacturing. It used to be assembly line. Now what builds a car? Robots. So it's just inevitable. It's bound to happen. It's just going to be there. And going back to what you said about like the down days, man, when the markets went down, I felt so gloomy. Instead, I'm just like, dang, because I'm one of those people that have bought in a bull market. And then when you see it go to the bear, it's just like, that sucks. Seeing the zeros go down,
And that's the other thing, like when doing this, for those of you who have paid this tuition, like you, Sunny, right? Like where you see it go down and you see it hurt, you also know that that impacts like you and your productivity during the day, how you might interact with other people. It has really detrimental effects, more than just the on paper losses, because you just feel so bad about it. So everyone, I just want to convey to everyone, like, remember that feeling, you know, when you are thinking about doing these huge bets. Think about it, like, okay, is it going to be worth if something does go wrong, beating yourself up so much about it and having it leak into basically every aspect of life that happens after that. And there'll always be other opportunities. There'll always be something else to be FOMO about, like always, you know? You might think, okay, well, you know, Whiff or Popcat, you know, they went up like 10x, 100x. Believe me, there's going to be AI companies that are going to do this as well, and they're just on the horizon. And so it's like, it's just going to be, you're going to see it all the time, all the time. And that's, don't be sad if you miss out. There are other opportunities that are out there, and just be vigilant.
Yeah, I'm in it for the long term. I made a decision a long time ago. I was just like, you know, I'm just ride it till the end. It's either ride or die, man.
That's right. Yeah. Nice.
But
well, thanks, Sonny.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming out again. And Edward, make sure you follow Edward on the social medias, get involved with the Discord, and try out his platform. Is it any cost to try it out? Do you just sign up for free, right?
No, you can. One of the other things that we're super proud of is that we have a great testnet experience. So even if you are in one of the restricted regions and you can't actually invest with real crypto, you can come on and you can just play with options on there. No cost, just free testnet, see how it works, get familiar with it, and then maybe go out to do fiat as well, you know, if you can't participate with the crypto. So we're really happy about that. You can come try our testnet out as well. We do have a gated version of the platform that is with real crypto that's out. And that you can sign up for a wait list, and we'll be letting more and more folks off the wait list as time goes on and as the platform scales. So definitely come on, get involved in the community, sign up for the wait list. If you can't actually participate, if you're in one of the restricted regions, then feel free to just try out the platform with our testnet.
Do it. This is not financial advice by any means, but just
nope.
Take a look at it. Anyways, thank you, man, and I wish you the best with your endeavors.
You too, Sonny. Thanks so much. Great to talk.
All right.